Thank you, Daria. We have some more really important announcements later in the call, but our featured speaker has a short window of time for us, so we want to hear her now and let her get to her other duties. Caitlin Saposi-Belknap is the National Director of Move to Amend, an organization that has been working to confront corporate power at the government level since 2009. Move to Amend has done an amazing job of organizing across the United States, forming affiliates in many of the cities where WILP has branches. They have benefited from the support of WILP members, hosting them during the years. Caitlin is joined by WILP member Phoebe Sorgan from Berkeley, California, who has been supporting Move to Amend from the beginning.
WILP to Amend has worked with other partners as well to host democracy conventions, where WILP has been a co-sponsor and a presenter. Their work has helped the public better understand the power dynamics and to organize, to challenge corporate power through a constitutional amendment that says money is not speech and corporations are not people, and that corporate persons should not have the same constitutional rights guaranteed in our Constitution for human persons. Move to Amend has built on the foundational work of Richard Grossman's POCLAD and subsequently on the hard work and creativity of WILP's original Challenge Corporate Power study course and timeline. That's the achievement of Virginia Rasmussen and Mary Zepernick and Molly Morgan and Jan Edwards, and many other longtime esteemed WILP members have been involved in this work. It's the 10th anniversary of Citizens United looms on January 21st, and the swamp is deeper and slimier than perhaps any time in our nation's history. Welcome, Caitlin, to the One WILP National Organizing Call, and we're hoping you'll be able to tell us what's new for Move to Amend now, and what actions you can suggest for our members to keep this unsavory anniversary and all it means in the public spotlight.
Great. Thank you so much, Mary Beth. Thanks, everybody, for having me on. As I told Mary Beth, I've been working on this issue, challenging corporate power, for 19 years now, come this year, and WILP was one of the first national groups that I connected with and was part of the Challenging Corporate Power, Asserting People's Rights campaign, and obviously WILP helped found Move to Amend. So thank you for all of your work and support of Move to Amend. Move to Amend is 10 years old now. Last year was our 10-year anniversary. And as you all have said, in a couple weeks, January 21st, that was our public launch. We launched on the day of the Citizens United ruling. But as you all know, we're not a money and politics group. We're looking to get at the two underlying doctrines behind Citizens United, the idea that corporations have constitutional rights and the idea that money is speech. We do that through the We the People Amendment, which has been introduced in the House of Representatives four times with this current Congress. It's House Joint Resolution 48. We currently have 67 co-sponsors. We're about to have 68 because we just got a new one yesterday, but I don't think she's officially been added yet, but she'll be added by the end of the week. And so that's one of the things that you all can help with. If you're doing lobbying visits to your congressional members for other issues, mentioning the We the People Amendment, asking that they co-sponsor if they're not already a co-sponsor, is really important. Making calls, helping us move forward. We're trying to get to 75 by the end of this year and this Congress, although we'd love to go faster than that because obviously we need this amendment to pass as soon as possible, because every day corporations gain more power, it seems. And this amendment is really kind of the only thing that will change the law so that we can actually hold corporations accountable. One of the things that we're really trying to help make sure that people understand, and WILP has always been so important to help further education of folks, is that if we're trying to move forward policies like Medicare for All or Green New Deal, it's going to be really important that we also pass the We the People Amendment when we pass those policies nationally, because if we don't, then they'll be vulnerable to being sued by the industries that they're looking to address, whether we're talking about the insurance industry or fossil fuel corporations suing and making the argument that those policies violate their constitutional rights, and especially with the Supreme Court that we currently have. But we also have hundreds of years of precedent of the court siding with corporations when they do things like that and expanding their rights and then gutting the policies, or making them less important or useful, or actually ruling them unconstitutional altogether. So we can't have that happen. So we have to do that educational work to how corporate constitutional rights basically connects to almost every single other issue. So the main work that Move to Amend, we see ourselves as a campaign. I mean, we are an organization, obviously, having been around for 10 years. We've now built an institution that, as you all have mentioned, has chapters all over the country. So if, and we welcome, you know, working with organizations like WILF that also have chapters or branches, and having those groups partner with us to do the work of supporting the We the People Amendment and staying part of your own organization and not necessarily having to become Move to Amend. Really, our current work is to get this amendment passed. And so we need 2/3 of both houses of Congress to do that, and then 3/4 of state legislatures have to ratify it, which is obviously a huge lift, but you know, WILFers know that we have done huge things like that before, and the only way that we can make it happen is to continue to persevere at it, and we've grown every year. So like I said, we currently have 68 co-sponsors, and the exciting good news is that last year we finally identified a senator who is prepared to introduce the amendment in the Senate. But he has said that he would like, he's not going to do that until he has 5 other senators to join with him. And one of those senators needs to be on the Judiciary Committee, because that's the committee that will first hear the amendment. And so that's what we're working to do now, is line up those other 5. So for those of you who live in California, I've heard a couple of folks mentioned you all live in a state where your senators are among our top targets. Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Washington State, Oregon, Wisconsin, Minnesota. And I'd be happy to send the full list of kind of top targets for senators to Mary Beth, if it would make sense, if folks want to find out if it's yours. Obviously, you know, we'll take support from any senator, but we've kind of identified a list of about 20 that we feel are the best candidates, either based on policies that they support or, you know, being generally more progressive and less beholden to corporate power. So that's a key project that we're working on right now, is to line up these other senators. We really want to move this quickly and not have it delay. So I'll be in D.C. next week to do a number of those meetings, and the senator who's willing to take the lead is not public, but I can tell you that it's Senator Markey from Massachusetts. So his office is holding a meeting with the kind of key other ones that we're reaching out to, and I'll have a better idea by the end of next week, kind of if we're close to that 5 or if it's going to take a lot more pressure. The way that we got Senator Markey was by bird-dogging him and showing up at, you know, all of his town halls and campaign events. He's running for re-election now, so that helps. But then also by passing resolutions through most of the House districts in Massachusetts. So that's one way that WILF has been involved, you know, all along. In fact, WILF was the first group to call for cities to pass resolutions through city councils. Our preferred way to do it these days is through ballot initiative whenever possible, because then that lets it go directly to voters, and it's a great educational opportunity. So we still do that tactic, try to get resolutions passed either through city or county councils or through ballot initiative in communities that have the initiative process. We also are this year looking to engage in more civil disobedience. Having been at this for 10 years, there's now, you know, a number of House reps that we have been doing the polite lobby meetings and, you know, letters and phone calls and things, and they're still not moving. So all of you as organizers know that, you know, that is now we're at the time where we need to, you know, up the ante and apply more pressure and make clear that we're not going away and we're going to continue to make be a headache for them if they don't move forward. And so on January 21st, we are going to have a number of sit-ins in congressional district offices. Obviously, organizing a continent is really hard, and so getting everybody to D.C. is not something that we're in a position to do. The fossil fuel alone that requires is not good. And so we're trying as much as possible to do stuff in district meetings or district offices where, you know, folks are closer. And so we will do a number of sit-ins. I don't know that we'll have anybody who's kind of escalating to an arrest situation this January, but we are looking to continue that tactic of sit-ins in congressional offices and to become, you know, more and more stubborn about not being willing to leave and making them have to, you know, call the police on us and potentially arrest people. So that's kind of a rolling project that we'll be doing. What determines whether a sit-in that escalates to that point it makes sense, it has to do with how much work has been done to kind of try the other tactics. And so, you know, we're at different levels with different Congress members. Some people we've been working on for years, some frankly haven't even heard from us yet. And so we work with kind of each place individually to first start off with the, you know, softer scale tactics and then working up. So would love to work with Wilf branches that are interested in targeting their Congress members in that way. We also are looking to, in May 10th is the date of the Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad case from 1886, where corporations were first kind of found in the Constitution. And it's a whole interesting story how that happened. And so we try to do different things on that day as organizing and education opportunities. So we're not totally sure what we're going to do yet for this May, potentially community town halls or freeway bannering or postcard campaigns. We give our chapters a lot of latitude to decide. So some of it will be, you know, for them to decide what makes sense for them. But that's something that Wilf folks could definitely participate in and partner with us on. And then probably the other big thing that would be of most interest to you all is that we do a campaign that we call Pledge to Amend every year. And then this year being a big national election year, Pledge to Amend is going to be pretty big for us. So that's getting candidates running for office to pledge to support the amendment with their seat if they're elected. And obviously we're targeting, you know, folks running for House seats and Congress, but we also target state and local races as well, because really anybody who wants to be a leader, even at the community level, needs to understand this issue and have a commitment to it. And then, you know, as you all know, to ratify the amendment, we're going to need state legislators anyways, and also people who are running for lower office are more likely to be the ones who are running for Congress later. And so just planting the seed and doing the education and getting their commitment to support this issue early in their political careers is really important. And so anybody can participate in Pledge to Amend by asking the people who are running for office in your community at any level to take the pledge. They can do that online, but we also have kind of a paper version that you can take to campaign events. If you or anyone you know is running for office, it's important to get them to take the pledge. And then, you know, we're seeing this year a lot of progressive candidates, especially younger folks, challenging incumbents who haven't really been doing a good job of serving community interests and are more beholden to corporations. And so we're really trying to make sure to target those primary races, which are, you know, coming right up in some places, and making it a campaign issue of that challengers can use to say, you know, I would support the We the People Amendment if I was elected, and why haven't you? You've had, you know, four Congress opportunities to do that, and you haven't come through, because everybody likes to say that they're, especially within the Democratic Party, opposed to Citizens United, this gets at the systemic doctrines behind Citizens United and is a, you know, unifying issue. 80% of the public agree that corporations have too much power, that we should amend the Constitution to address it, that we should overturn Citizens United, that corporations shouldn't be considered persons, et cetera, et cetera. Even, you know, conservatives agree with that in terms of rank and file folks, obviously not the Republican Party leadership, but regular voters do. And so really trying to insert this into the 2020 election at every level. We've also been bird dogging presidential candidates. So, you know, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and Cory Booker all recently. But we're, you know, any of them, we need to target and ask them, you know, if they support the We the People Amendment as well. So those are kind of the broad strokes, but I'm also happy to answer any questions or if there's anything in particular, Mary Beth or Phoebe, that I didn't cover that you would like me to or that you want to add, then definitely go ahead.
If there are any questions for Caitlin, please raise your hand by pressing number 1 on your phone keypad. Maybe you'd like to share what your branch has contributed to Move to Amend's work or how you've marked the anniversary of Citizens United in the past, and how you're tying political corruption and corporate power to local issues in your community. I know that when I was in Iowa, I worked hard to try to support like 5 different affiliates. So I don't think they're all still around, but hopefully there's at least one of them still there. We have been working with some of those folks.
And actually, Mary Beth, sorry, if there's one thing I should add that I forgot because it's new for us. So affiliates, our local chapters, are sort of the main way that we have encouraged people to plug in at the grassroots level, and that's still, you know, what we think is really important because building organizational capacity and movement building is really critical. But we are going to have a new thing, Move to Amend advocates, which is individuals who aren't necessarily in a community where there's enough people to form an affiliate or enough interest yet. And so rather than telling people that they have to form an organization, they can become a Move to Amend advocate and kind of work as an individual. That also might be good for all of you who already are building an organization and busy with that, but might want to connect Move to Amend to the issues that you're working on. So if folks are interested in becoming Move to Amend advocates, there's kind of an agreement that we have and some ways that we can plug you in and give you resources and connect you better, make sure that you know what's going on and that we know what you're up to. But that's a lower ask than start an affiliate. So we have kind of adopted this new structural element and we'll be figuring it out as we go. But that's something we're doing in 2020 that we've never done before.
That's great, and might appeal to our at-large members. Eileen Krakowski from Boston, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Thank you. I was Eileen. On mute. I'm on now. Yes, I'm sorry. I was on mute. Caitlin, I'm so impressed with all you're doing, and I thank you. You're also a wonderful spokesperson. I can see why you're making headways. I have an important question, though. I am in Massachusetts, which is, of course, where Senator Markey is located, and Joe Kennedy is giving him a good run for his money. I suspect you're concerned as well. Have you thought about what you may have to do if Markey can't lead this charge, in the sense, if you get the 5 extra senators to support this?
Yeah, thanks for the kind words, first of all.
You're welcome.
We do think that part of why Markey maybe was willing to step up, because we've been working on him for years, is this challenge by Kennedy. Kennedy is a co-sponsor in the House, so the reality is that if Markey is no longer senator, then we will talk to Kennedy and see if he's willing to take this up. And then also Bernie Sanders has also pledged that he would introduce the amendment, but then his Senate staff sort of are dragging their feet on that. But we have made some good headway there as well. So we do have some backups. Our hope, that's part of why we really want to make sure that this gets introduced this year so that that doesn't get stalled out. And then if anything does happen with Markey, we'll at least have the other folks who are already signed on as co-sponsors who we can turn to take his place. We are not a political action committee. We're a 501c4, so we don't endorse candidates, so we're not taking any kind of position in that race. But obviously, we hope that whoever is the senator in Massachusetts in that spot is, you know, a champion of the We the People Amendment. We're going to do everything we can to try and make sure that's the case.
Thanks, Caitlin. We don't have any other questions for you right now. I did want to tell you before you go off to your next gig that our Corporations versus Democracy National Issue Committee recently changed our name to Women, Money, and Democracy Issue Committee. And we're focused on a few additional pieces of the large picture, including efforts to advance public banking initiatives in the U.S., teach about money policy in the U.S., to contrast feminist economics with the male-dominated explanations for why we just can't afford everything we all want, and a project that we're working on to link the concept of war and debt. So I just wanted to bring you up to date on what's going on at WELF.
Great. Well, that sounds really good. Thanks for the update. And we're always very happy to, if there's any other ways that we can connect or continue to keep each other in the loop. I'm really glad that there's some Move to Amend folks like Phoebe who are also WILP folks still. I know, you know, our program director, Jessica, she just moved, but she was connecting with WILP in Southern California where she lives. So we're still very enthusiastic and appreciative of all that WILP has done to plant all the seeds and build all the initial power that helped make Move to Amend possible. And we'd love to continue to find ways to partner going forward.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us tonight, Caitlin and Phoebe.
We'll
let you head off to your next call.
Thanks. Yeah, sorry, I have to jump off. I have to do our webinar tonight. So thanks for accommodating me with your schedule, and please keep us in the loop, and we'll do the same for you guys.
Great.
Sorry, thank not you. You guys, you all. Bye-bye. Mary Zeppelin taught me that.
Bye, Caitlin.